Welcome to this message from Alpha and Omega Christian Fellowship. We are a family on a journey to become more like Christ, sharing His kingdom by expressing His love. We hope that you will be blessed and encouraged by what we have to share.
What I want to talk to you this morning is about the work the Holy Spirit is doing, not just in our midst, not just in your life, but in the life of the church, universal. I call it the preparatory work of the Spirit of God within His church. He is at work preparing us. For what? For the greatest move of God the world has ever seen. You have a choice. I have a choice. Whether we're going to be part of this great move of God or whether we're going to stand by the wayside and watch others flow and move in the power of the Spirit. It's our decision. God has given us a free will and has given us a choice. Choice is our right. Amen. And we thank God for the freedom of choice. He does not push. He does not manipulate. He does not threaten. But He invites. And He invites us into this great move of God. But in order to step into it, there is a work of preparation that needs to be done. You know, the other day, the Holy Spirit asked me a couple of questions. And when God asks questions, it's not because He's looking for an answer. Amen? He wants to focus our attention on something that is so important. And the first question He asked me was this: can anyone just step into the flow of the Spirit of God and move with power with Him without any training or adequate preparation? Question. The second question He asked me was, can anyone run a marathon without being adequately trained and prepared for it? The answer to both questions, of course, is no. No. You need preparation. You need to work at it and prepare for what it is that is coming. And that's what He wanted to emphasize. Here is another question from me now. And I am asking myself, and I'm asking you as part of this household. If we have been praying and believing God for a move of the Spirit among us, how should we be prepared for it? How should we be prepared? If you believe that there is a move of God coming into this house and from this house out into the street, what should we be doing in preparing for that move? Do you think it's a good question to ask? Amen. I've learned this. Expectations inspire preparations. When you are expecting something, you prepare for it. Say you invite some guests to your house for lunch or for tea, you prepare for them, do you not? You want to take a journey, go on holiday, you prepare for it. You want to build a house, you prepare for it. You're expecting a baby. Have you done your preparation? Did you fix the room? You see, anytime you and I expect something to happen, we prepare for it. Here's another question. If we believe that God will meet with us when we come together, when we gather together in this house, how should we approach our Sunday morning gatherings? I tell you what most of you do. You just roll out of bed and you come. I know what I would do. If the Spirit would ask me, how would you prepare to meet with me as you come on a Sunday morning? This is what I would say to him. I would go to bed early, much earlier than I would like, and I would get up earlier than I would like, and I would spend an hour at least in prayer preparing my heart to meet with the King. And then I would be very careful not to upset my wife or my wife to upset me while we drive to the church, because that happens often. But I will be on my special guard to be calm. Amen? Because I don't want to miss what God has for me. I would be walking around like a glass of water on my head, dancing. Have you ever seen that in the Greek culture? The guy moves with such elegance, and he's got a glass of water, and on top of that, he's got other glasses of water, and he doesn't spill a drop. That takes practice. Are you listening to me? John Schultz was here a couple of weeks ago. Remember what he said, among other things? What stuck out is that he said, I see prophetically there's going to be an influx of people coming through the doors of this house. You heard that? Well, here's a question. How should we prepare for them? Have you prepared to meet with the King this morning? Or did you come to meet a man? And to have sing a few songs, greet your friends? Or did you really prepare to meet with the King? You see, I say it again, expectations inspire preparations. If you don't expect anything, you will leave this house without anything. And many people all across the church of the Lord Jesus Christ come empty, leave empty, because they don't expect to receive anything. They don't expect God to meet with them, to have an encounter with them, to speak to them, to minister to them, to comfort them, to lead them, to guide them, to heal them. Don't expect that. And I've learned that God can only respond to the level of our expectations. No more and no less. God will only respond to you according to the level of your expectation. Every day is a new day, new possibilities. What are you expecting God to do for you? Are you expecting Him to meet with you, to talk to you, to comfort you, to guide you, to lead you? Are you expecting the Lord by His Spirit to lead you somewhere where you have not been before? I've learned to do that every single day in my walks with God. He can only respond to the degree of the hunger and the thirst for His presence. We sang just now, Holy Spirit, would you come? And I heard Him say, if you prepare me a place, I will come. He wants to come more than you desire to have Him here. More than any one of us desire His presence. He longs to come. And when He comes, He will come with power. And that's why Malachi says, who can stand in the day of His coming? Who can endure when He appears? Because when he comes, he will come as a purifying fire to purify the church, to cleanse the church, to make it an acceptable habitation for his presence. He will come. Suddenly, the Bible says, the one whom you seek will come to his temple. You are his temple, but he will only come if you seek him, if you expect him to show up. God was endeavoring to communicate to me such an important principle, the principle of preparation. Are we preparing for his coming? Are we preparing to meet with him? Are we expecting him to speak to us? Are you believing for what you've been praying for? Or are you just praying prayers? We serve a great God, and he can do great things, but only if we believe him for it. And I know he wants to talk to you so personally, so privately today. Some of you are in a very vulnerable place. Some of you are questioning God. Some of you are tired and weary. And you are at a very vulnerable place. The enemy can just come in all of a sudden, and before you realize it, he can steal from you. He'll steal your joy. He'll steal your finances. He will steal things that are precious to you. Why? Because you have been sleeping. I'm talking about spiritual sleep, slumber. You're not aware of what's going on around you spiritually. God wants to wake you up and start preparing. Preparing for what he has prepared for you. And listen, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to prepare us for such encounters. It's not your work, it's his work. It is God who works in you and in me, both the will and the doing. He's not asking you to pray. He's asking you to yield, to respond when he speaks, to say, yes, Lord, here I am. I present my body to you as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to you, which is my reasonable service. And he will do the work. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It is the work of the Spirit to prepare you and make you ready. But only if you respond to his leading and you yield to the promptings of his Spirit. He will do the work. But the greatest challenge the Holy Spirit is finding, it is the barrier of the self-will and the flesh. We want to do our own thing. And God says, no, this is the way I want you to do it. This is the way I'm leading you. As we yield in obedience to his leading and guidance, he's able to finish and complete the work in no time at all. But we delay our preparation. We put up roadblocks with our stubbornness and our pride and our selfishness and our self-centeredness. And we resist him. That's why the scripture says, today is your day. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. As your forefathers did in the wilderness, and they tested me and they tried me, and they died in the desert, never seeing the promised land that I have promised them. So soften your heart as you hear the knock of the Spirit, and yield and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Preparation. That's what the Spirit was trying to communicate to me. The importance of preparation. The importance of being in a state always of expectation. when the Holy Spirit revealed to me that from a businessman I was going to go into the full-time ministry. I was going to sell my business, the business that my wife and I worked for 15 years. And he showed me that in time I was to move from Zimbabwe into another country. I began to seek the Lord for a plan of preparation. God's wisdom will give you a plan in how to prepare for what he has prepared for you. Amen. You don't just do things for the sake of doing things. You go to God and you say, Lord, here I am. You have a plan. And I need a plan of preparation. How do I prepare from this, for this transition, for this repositioning? It's not an easy thing to move from one country to the next. And God gave me a plan in his wisdom. And step by step by step, I followed that plan, and the transition was so blessed, so smooth, no problem, because God did it. Because I asked him, give me a plan. And he has a plan for your preparation. And only he can reveal that plan to you. There is a special way he wants to prepare you and train you. And it could be different from every other person that he trains. I believe that God has tailored a path, a tailored a work of preparation that is just for you. But you've got to be sensitive to receive it from him. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that Noah, being divinely warned of things which he had not seen yet, moved with godly fear. And what did he do? What did Noah do? What's the word I'm looking for? He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Why? Because he saw what is coming. And one of the things that the church desperately needs is a God vision. Vision will inspire you to prepare. When you see what is coming, you prepare for it. Have you seen what God has prepared for you down the road? If you don't see, you cannot adequately prepare. That's why we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Jesus said that the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. In other words, if you have a godly vision or a cause or a purpose, if you're able to see your future, then your whole body will go into a mode of preparation. Many years ago, the Spirit said to me, son, I'm taking you into some things that will cause your feet to dance with joy. I started preparing. Man, and I prepared. And there I was. When the day came for the move, I was ready, like a twin-engine airplane ready to take off. Are you ready for what God has prepared for you? When Daniel read in the book of Jeremiah that the 70 years of captivity of his nation came to an end, and a new day arrived for the nation of Israel. He read that in the book of Jeremiah chapter, Daniel talks about it in chapter 9. Can you put those scriptures up, please? Now listen to how he responded when he found out that a new day has begun for his nation. Captivity is over. This is a new day. And God is up to something. He wants to take his people back to the land of Israel. Can you read what it says there? Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer, supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, ashes, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. Notice, Daniel did not sin, but he includes himself in that, and he says, we have sinned. He identifies with the sin of his nation. That's why when you begin to pray and intercede for someone, you identify with that person. Amen? Just like you are in their place. And that's what the church is supposed to do. He says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We rebelled even by departing from your precepts. And he goes on. And he calls out to God for mercy, not judgment. And he says, remember, Lord, your mercy. And we see here Daniel prepared not only for himself, but for his entire nation in coming out of captivity. And he prepared, notice, by setting his face toward God and praying and supplicating and fasting and crying out to God, confessing. What a posture. And we have also, my brothers, my sisters, we have also been given precious promises for the days we are in now. How do we respond when we read Acts 2:17? And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. How do you respond when you, do you really believe that? Do I believe this? Are we in the last days? Amen? Are we expecting and praying for our children to prophesy? Are we expecting to see signs, wonders of God following us? And these signs shall follow the apostles. Is that what it says? No. These signs shall follow the prophets. No, these signs shall follow the believers, those who believe. Are you a believer? They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you believe that? No, you don't. Otherwise, you would be doing it. Otherwise, I would be doing it at every opportunity we get. But remember what the Spirit said. Can you just step into the flow of the Spirit and move with power with Him without adequate preparation and training? Of course you can't. You're going to have to prepare your heart. You're going to have to prepare your mindset. And that takes work, my brother, my sister. That takes work. Amen? How do we, as the leadership of this place, prepare you for such a move? That's a good question. We cannot push. We cannot manipulate. We beg. Come to the prayer meeting. Please come. You know what? If you were on fire, you wouldn't need an invitation to come to the prayer meeting. You would run. Hello? Ouch. We don't need reminding. If we are at a right place, if our heart is prepared, If we truly believe these words, how shall we prepare for the outpouring of the Spirit? How should we respond to such a prophetic message for this massive outpouring? Listen. I believe there's only one primary way that we can adequately prepare. There are others, but you start with this. Are you ready to hear it? It's not a comfortable word, but I'm going to share it with you because I believe it's the truth, and we need to hear it. It's found in James chapter 4, verses 6 through to 10, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And God, He gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. That's called repentance. Amen? In plain language. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. We come with humility. We come with repentance. We come confessing. He says, cleanse your hands. Hands represent our works, dead works, not works of faith, but works of fear, works of doubt, works of the flesh. He says, purify your hearts. Why? Because we're double-minded between the world and the church and God. We have become so friendly with the world's wisdom that we can no longer tell the difference who belongs to God and who is of the world. We speak like the world. We act like the world. Hello? We make decisions without consulting the Lord. So what's the difference between us and the world and those who have not experienced regeneration? And that's why the Lord says, purify your hearts. Because you're double-minded. You're not single-minded on the kingdom of God and His purposes. And so there has to be a cleansing, a purifying, a devotion to God that we have not reached before. We belong to you, Lord. There's a beautiful song that I've been listening to lately, and it says, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Not just any price, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you know what it cost God to purchase you? Not just your salvation, you. And all that you have and all that you are. He paid a terrible price because He loves you and He loves me. And I'm not my own. Therefore, I cannot make my own decisions. I do not have my own agenda. I have His agenda. What do you want me to do this morning, Lord? I yield. I present myself to you every single day. Lead me and guide me. What do you want me to do, Lord? You, the Lord of my life. I don't have my own dreams. Your dreams are my dreams. One day the Lord said to me, son, when the earth comes into agreement with heaven, there will be heaven on earth. And when your life comes into alignment with my dreams for your life, when your thoughts align with mine, when your words align with mine, then you will have heaven here in your home. Wherever you go, heaven will be in you, and you will release the fragrance of Christ wherever you go. Just as simple as that. The dying of self is not a one thing and one time. We need to come to the place where we die daily to our own dreams and our own agendas, our own desires, what we prefer, our rights, our privileges, in order to allow the King to live in us and through us. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit right now is preparing for Himself a vessel, a body. A body in which He can pour Himself into and work through. That's what He's doing right now in the earth. It is written, Hebrews 10, verse 5 through 7, very significant scripture here. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, speaking of Jesus, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. A body. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Now, these verses of Scripture were fulfilled once in the life of Jesus. God prepared Him a body through the Virgin Mary. But I believe once again they are being fulfilled as the Holy Spirit again is preparing a body. What is that body? The church. For the indwelling, inhabiting of His presence. So where the church goes, He goes. When the church speaks, God backs it up. Amen. When the church decides to bind on earth, it is bound. When the church decides to loose something on the earth, it is loosed. That's the kind of authority that Jesus gave to the church. And the Spirit is now at work preparing the church and bringing the church into a place where the church speaks and the world listens. But not yet. We're not ready yet. We're not there. But that's our destination. And you and I can be part of that church. That is, if you choose to. This, the Holy Spirit has undertaken such huge task to prepare the body of Christ for the final chapter in God's calendar. What a day to live in, folks. What a day to live in. Do you realize the day that you and I are living in? Man, the world is upside down. There is gross darkness. But listen, in God's calendar, this is the finest day to live on the earth. And you and I have been privileged to live at such a time as this, just like Esther showed up for such a time, he says, as this. And one woman made a difference and turned the whole nation around. What a day to live in, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited in my spirit. My spirit is more alive now than it ever was. And I yearn that you may come to that place where you arise, every one of you, and shine for God. You know, I believe that anybody can teach you, even a dog. Yes. Stephen's dog taught me to walk every morning and pray for my neighborhood. Can you believe that? I never used to walk. Then Stephen comes to me and I says, Dad, we're going on holiday. Are you and Mom be prepared to look after our dog? I said, okay. But then you have to go and walk him every day. okay. I walked the first day, I walked the second day, I walked the third day for a week. By the end of that week, my goodness, I don't know, God did something to me. And now, in the morning, I am up. And after time, a season of prayer, I hit the road. And for the first time, I began to feel God's heart and God's pain for my neighborhood after 32 years. I hear the cries. I hear the sorrows. I hear the pain. I see the captivity, and my spirit within me cries out in interceding for every family, every household, as I walk up and down the hills of Platte Kloof, and I claim a blood-washed company from that neighborhood. And you will see it won't be long before I start planting a church in that neighborhood. But it won't be like a church we used to. God said to me, it will be something quite different. It's not even going to look like church. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it pretty soon. So you know what? I'm preparing. What am I preparing? And the Spirit said, I want you to pray for 6 solid months before I will give you solid instructions on what to do. I'm looking for a plan. Lord, I said, if you want me to go from door to door and knock, I will do so. You want me to use the Alpha Course, I'll do so. Whatever you want, but I want to hear from you. Because he has the key. And the people who live in Platte Kloof, they are comfortable people. They have everything, naturally speaking. But if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. Amen. Amen. So I'm starting. I'm inviting one for tea. I'm inviting two for tea Saturday. I'm going to have somebody else come for tea. I'd like to meet you. Meet your wife. Meet my wife. You're my neighbor. What is that called? Preparation. I'm preparing. I'm preparing. What are you preparing for? These are some serious questions. Amen? And the Holy Spirit, as I say to you, is preparing, working every day, moving, talking, leading. And I believe this body of believers will be so on fire for God, they will be sold out to God. No compromise. They will not compromise their faith. They will not compromise their integrity. They will not compromise their beliefs or the values. They will stand out like a sore thumb. But that's the kind of people that God is preparing. They will shine, and they will attract the sinners that are ready to change, to repent, and to walk in the ways of God. They have been prepared for such a time as this. One more scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Paul writing to Timothy, he says to him, among other things, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, it's very important here, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that is the wood and the clay, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. You know, some people read this and they omit the therefore. Well, he says, I'm just a wood vessel and a clay vessel. God has golden and silver vessels, and God has wood and clay. I'm just one of those clay. No. God don't want you to be a vessel of clay. He says, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. There's the work prepared again. What is that great house that Paul is talking about? Of course you know, the great house is referring to the church. What kind of vessel are you? Huh? Don't answer that. The vessels who are honored and useful in the house of God are those who have cooperated with the Holy Spirit in cleansing themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, let us cleanse ourselves. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from what? From all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, the fear of the Lord will cleanse and purify you. I recall many years ago, John Bevere visited Jim Baker. How many of you have heard of Jim Baker? In the 70s, 80s, he had a massive television program. He was a televangelist, and thousands of people he ministered to. And one day he was caught doing something that was not right, and he went to prison. And in prison, John Bevere visited him. And Jim Baker said to him, John, I've always loved Jesus. Ever since I remember, there has never been a time that I never loved the Lord. But I never feared the Lord. I've never feared the Lord. Reverential fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord departs one from evil. We have so emphasized the love of God to such an extent and the goodness of God that we omitted the severity of God or the fear of the Lord. We live any way we want to. God loves me and the grace covers me. No, no. He loves you. But he does not condone your sinful behavior. Amen? Are you still out there? Holiness. And I believe this great move of God that is coming, it's going to have this outstanding characteristic. It will be a move of holiness and purity. And tremendous power will flow from that. Amen? Praise God. Let's go on. My time is up. I want to say this before I close. If we are going to move with God, that is, if you want to, in the power of His Spirit, in this great move, we need to make some quality decisions, every one of us, both individually and collectively as a church. I'm talking about quality decisions from which there is no return that will determine our future in the Lord. And one of the decisions we need to make is this: to be wholly devoted to God. Lord, I am yours. I place myself on the altar of sacrifice. As the word says, present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. I am yours to command. I will go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I belong to you. You belong to me. And I am yours. and everything I have belongs to you. I'm no longer the boss. I'm no longer the Lord. I am just the steward of my own time, of my own life, and of my own possessions. Have your way with me. That is the first and most important decision that each one of us has to make. Jesus is Lord, is not just a Savior. He is Lord of your life. That's why we call him Lord, Lord. Amen? And we need to begin a work of preparation by asking the Holy Spirit to show us how to prepare for what is coming. In your life personally and in collectively in the life of the church. Plan of preparation. Amen? And preparation primarily involves, listen carefully now, it involves a change of mind, a change of attitude. It involves a change in the way we do things. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results, can we? Eh? No. Something has to change. You need to ask the Lord, what do I need to change? What do I need to change in my life, Lord? In order to prepare. In order for your spirit to work that work of preparation in my life. But also you need to understand that the Lord may take you on a path, and I'm sure he will, that is unknown and unfamiliar to you. Amen. Preparation involves that. When I sold my business, I had no business to go to, no work to go to. I would get up in the morning, pray, and then go to the supermarket. But now there's no supermarket. I get up, I pray. Now what do I do? I'm lost. He's calling me to walk a path I've never walked before. But you know what? There is no growth without change. There is no advancement without change. And the Lord said, new wine must be put into what? New wineskins. We're going to have to create a new wineskin, even in our fellowship. Lord, what kind of wineskin do you want here?
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For additional resources and more information, come and visit us at alphaomega.org.za.